Daniel, a captive in Babylon. This chapter is based on Daniel 1. Among the children of Israel carried captive to Babylon were men and women as true as steel to principle, who would honor God even at the loss of all things. In the land of their captivity, these were to carry out God's purposes as His representatives. They were to bear their faith and their name as worshipers of the living God as a high honor. The Babylonians claimed that their religion was superior to that of the Hebrews. As evidence, they pointed out that the Hebrews were captives and that the vessels of God's house were in the temple of the Babylonian gods. Yet the Lord gave Babylon evidence of His supremacy, of the holiness of His requirements, and of the sure results of obedience. Daniel and his three companions provided outstanding examples of what people may become who unite with God. From the simplicity of their home, these youth of royal line were taken to Babylon, the most magnificent city, and into the court of the world's greatest monarch. They were young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand. Seeing in these youth remarkable ability, Nebuchadnezzar determined that they should be trained to fill important positions. He arranged for them to learn the language of the Chaldeans, and for 3 years to be granted the unusual educational advantages afforded to princes of the realm. The king did not compel the Hebrew youth to renounce their faith in favor of idolatry, but he hoped to bring this about gradually. By giving them names based in idolatry, by bringing them daily into close association with customs of idol worship, and under the influence of the seductive heathen rites, he hoped to persuade them to renounce their religion and unite with the worship of the Babylonians. Idolatry and seductive temptation. At the very start, the young men faced a decisive test of character. Arrangements had been made for them to eat the food and drink the wine that came from the king's table. In this, the king thought to express his interest in their welfare. But the food from the king's table was consecrated to idols, and partaking of it would be seen as offering worship to the gods of Babylon. If they did this, Daniel and his companions would deny their faith and dishonor the principles of the law of God. Nor did they dare to risk the weakening effect of luxury and wrong habits of living on their physical, mental, and spiritual development. They were acquainted with the intemperance of Nadab and Abihu and its results, Leviticus 10, verse 1 to 11, and they knew that wine would injure their own physical and mental powers. Daniel and his associates had been taught that God would hold them accountable for their capabilities, and that they must never dwarf or enfeeble their powers. The temptations in that corrupt and luxurious court were strong, but these Hebrew youth remained uncontaminated. No influence could sway them from the principles they had learned in early life by studying the word and works of God. Daniel might have found a plausible excuse for departing from strictly temperate habits. He might have argued that if he held to the divine teaching, he would offend the king and probably lose his position and his life. By disregarding the commandment of the Lord, he would secure intellectual advantages and flattering worldly prospects. But Daniel did not hesitate. He determined to stand firm. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. His three companions supported him in this. In reaching this decision, the Hebrew youth did not act presumptuously. They did not choose to be different, but they would accept being different rather than dishonor God. If they took the first wrong step, it would lead to others until, with their connection to heaven broken, they would be swept away by temptation. God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs, and the request was received with respect. Yet the chief hesitated. "I fear my lord the king," he explained to Daniel. "For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king." Daniel appeals to another authority. Daniel then appealed to Melzar, the officer in special charge of the Hebrew youth. He asked that the matter be tested by a 10-day trial, the Hebrew youth eating simple food, while their companions ate the king's rich provisions. Despite his concerns, Melzar consented. At the end of 10 days, the result was the opposite of the officer's fears. their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. As a result, Daniel and his associates were permitted their simple diet during their entire course of training. For 3 years, the Hebrew youth studied, depending constantly on God's power. It was not pride or ambition that had brought them to the king's court. They were captives in a strange land. Separated from home, they wanted to perform well for the honor of their downtrodden people and for the glory of him whose servants they were. The Lord approved their purity of motive, and he gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. God fulfilled his promise, "Those who honor me, I will honor." 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. While Daniel was receiving human instruction in the duties of court life, God was teaching him to read the mysteries of the future and to record for coming generations, through figures and symbols, events covering history till the close of time. The great results of true health reform. When the time came for the Hebrew youth to be examined for the service of the kingdom, among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Their keen comprehension, their wide knowledge, their exact language testified to the unimpaired strength and vigor of their mental powers. Therefore, they served before the king. At the court of Babylon, men of the highest talent had gathered from many lands. They were richly endowed with natural gifts and exhibited the broadest culture the world could bestow. Among them all, the Hebrew youth were without an equal in physical strength, mental vigor, and literary attainment. The erect form, the firm step, the admirable appearance, the undimmed senses, the untainted breath, all were marks of the nobility with which nature honors those who obey her laws. Daniel and his companions were far more successful than their fellow students in acquiring the wisdom of the Babylonians. They obtained their knowledge under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, having made the knowledge of God the foundation of their education. They prayed for wisdom, and they improved every opportunity to become intelligent in all lines of learning. They followed the rules of life that could not fail to give them strength of mind. Praying constantly, studying faithfully, keeping in touch with the unseen, they walked with God, as did Enoch. True success in any line of work is not the result of chance or accident or destiny. It is the outworking of God's leading, the reward of faith and discretion, of virtue and perseverance. Fine mental qualities and a high moral tone are not the result of accident. God gives opportunities. Success depends on the use made of them. Here we can see the divine principle of cooperation. To make God's grace our own, we must act our part. He gives his grace to work in us to will and to do, but never as a substitute for our effort. As the Lord cooperated with Daniel, so he will cooperate with all who strive to do his will. By his Spirit, he will strengthen every true purpose, every noble resolution. Those who walk in the path of obedience will encounter many difficulties, but the Lord is able to counteract every agency that works for the defeat of his chosen ones. In his strength, they may overcome every temptation, conquer every difficulty. The secret of Daniel's success. God brought Daniel and his associates into connection with the great men of Babylon so that they could represent his character. Faithfulness in little things set the tone for their whole life. They honored God in the smallest duties as well as in larger responsibilities. As God called Daniel, so he calls us to be his witnesses in the world today. He desires us to reveal the principles of his kingdom. Many are waiting for some great work while they fail to fulfill wholeheartedly the little duties of life each day. While they wait for some large work in which they may use their supposedly great talents, their days pass away. We shall be judged by what we ought to have done, but did not accomplish because we did not use our powers to glorify God. A noble character is not the result of accident. It results from self-discipline, from subjecting the lower nature to the higher, from surrendering self to the service of God and humanity. Today, there is need of men and women who, like Daniel, will do and dare for the cause of right. Pure hearts, strong hands, fearless courage are needed. To every soul, Satan comes with many alluring temptations on the point of indulging appetite. The body is a most important medium through which the mind and soul are developed for character building. For this reason, the adversary directs his temptations toward enfeebling and degrading the physical powers. Success here often means that the person surrenders the whole being to evil. Unless placed under the dominion of a higher power, the tendencies of the physical nature will work ruin and death. The passions are to be controlled by the will, which is itself to be under the control of God. The kingly power of reason, sanctified by grace, is to rule in the life. Intellectual power, physical stamina, and length of life depend on unchangeable laws. Through obedience to these laws, we may stand conquerors of self, conquerors of our own inclinations, conquerors of the rulers of the darkness of this age. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Daniel and his companions had the same passions as we do, yet they stood firm because they depended on a strength that is infinite. A heathen nation saw in them an illustration of the goodness of God and the love of Christ. And in their experience, we have an example of the triumph of principle over temptation, of purity over depravity, of devotion and loyalty over atheism and idolatry. The youth of today may draw from the same source of strength and reveal the same grace in their lives, even under circumstances just as unfavorable. Though surrounded by temptations, especially in large cities where gratifying the senses is easy and inviting, by divine grace they may withstand every temptation that attacks the soul. But only those who determine to do right will gain the victory. As these noble Hebrews said goodbye to their childhood home, little did they dream what a high destiny would be theirs. They yielded to the divine guiding so that through them God could fulfill His purpose. The life of Daniel and his friends is a demonstration of what God will do for youth and children today who yield themselves to Him and seek with the whole heart to accomplish His purpose.